Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing study of the sign gifts listed in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And this message is titled, They Shall Lay Hands on the Sick. In this message, we will expose the fraud fakes on TBN, Daystar, and other charismatic networks, and the charismatic crooks who travel the world bilking people out of money with their false, unbiblical promises of healing and a false claim of having this gift of healing. We now begin part one of our two-part study.
We're finishing up with our look at the sign gifts. And this time we're going to look at they shall lay hands on the sick. Now, before we get started, I'm just curious what you think about this. What do you think?
Perfect.
Practically twins. I think we look just alike. All right. In this study, we look at this sign gift whose abuse has been more profitable to false teachers than any other. It's called Faith Healer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's on TV and in tents all over the place, and it's called Faith Healing. Now let's go ahead and read the text, verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we've already talked about the fact that folks like to cherry pick a few of these and leave out the serpents and the deadly things and all that sort of thing. And then they take this last phrase, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and use that as a proof text for this charismatic faith healing thing that goes on all over the place. And we're emphasizing, first of all, that these are signs. The thing starts, and no one seems to, you know, I'm just telling you, you got to read the Bible like you care about it. Read the Bible like it's important to you. Read the Bible like you would if it was telling you just won $1 million. And it says you won $1 million, and here's how you collect. You do A, B, C, and D. I guarantee you, you want to pay attention to A, B, C, and D. But people read the Bible like it's a cookbook that they can just take and leave ingredients and it'll still pop out something out of the oven that they want to eat. It says these are signs. Right. Now everything else you build on this has to be with the idea that these are signs. And signs are temporary. There's never an example of God using signs permanently. Never. And that's what is borne out in the Bible. You read the book of Acts, these sign gifts took place, and by the end of the book of Acts, they're not taking place anymore. And then the letters that Paul wrote at the end of Acts and the last couple of years of his life, he is not able to do these things. Amen. He left people sick, and he says so in his letters. He left them sick because he couldn't heal them. And there were other things that Paul himself suffered from, an illness that he could not be healed from. But all that took place as these signs were no longer. And he said, so that they shall speak with new tongues. We talked about that the speaking in tongues was a sign to the Jew. And here today, for the most part, it's a bunch of Gentiles who get together in a church and just haggle in tongues, and everybody's doing it. There's no interpretation. No one knows what's being said. And it's just absolutely anti-biblical. And we emphasize that you do have to have an interpreter when anyone spoke with tongues in the Bible. And today, most of what's going on, there's no interpretation. It kind of looks like this. See? Now that was the interpretation. These sign gifts take place in order to confirm the reality of the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. There was a reason for these sign gifts. They weren't just to impress people and make people say, wow, there's something to this. There was a purpose. And they cast out devils, they spoke in tongues, they took up serpents, they drunk deadly things, and they survived when they took up serpents. They survived when they took up deadly things. That's the key. And it says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that happened. And this is a proof text, though. Proof text is where they take something out of context and it becomes a what's called a pretext. Everybody you talk to who's involved in some cult or some aberration will tell you, well, that the preacher preaches the Bible. He uses the Bible. Yes. That's how the devil has always been able to get people off the truth and away from the truth. He uses the Bible. Go read it in Luke 4 or Matthew 4 where Jesus was in the wilderness with Lucifer. He used the Bible. Just because you're in a church that uses the Bible doesn't mean anything. You have to look at it in context. Now what you're about to see is not faith healing. It is called fake healing. And that's what's going on today.
He said, you smite that cancer with your fist.
You've got cancer of the stomach? Are you ready for God to burn that cancer out? Here it goes in the mighty... Devil, back off. Back off, devil! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Do you really believe you're healed?
Yes.
You think your cancers are gone now?
Yes, I believe that because God never lies and we stand in His Word. Praise the Lord.
I tell you, from now on, you're going to have a soul of victory in your heart.
You ever heard of Peter Popoff?
Amen!
To his followers, Popoff seemed to have divine powers.
Is it Gould? Alice Gould?
He knew their names.
Stand up, Alice.
As well as the afflictions they'd come to cure.
God is touching that thyroid condition right now. God is touching your nerves right now. God is touching your eyes. Just lift up your hands, get ready. Here it comes.
He also knew the personal details of their lives.
You're going to hear good news from Charles before everything is over. I'll tell you, he's going to be completely delivered because of your prayers, because of your faith. Here it comes, complete healing in Jesus. Ooh, mighty name, right now, right now, right now. Amen. It's all right to praise the Lord.
I suspected that Popoff's revelations were other than divine. The radio scanner we brought to the hall picked up a decidedly worldly source.
They had a radio scanner.
Hello, Petey, can you hear me? If you can't, you're in trouble.
Popoff was being prompted by his wife.
His wife was telling him everything you need to hear in his ear.
John?
Dearie Johnson.
She'd gotten her information from prayer cards filled out by the faithful before the show began.
She's about to get rid of the walker.
You want to get rid of this walker, sister? Oh, glory. How long have you been walking on that walker?
About 3 years.
3 years.
She lives at 1627 10th Street.
1627 10th Street? Is that right?
That's right.
She has arthritis all over.
Burning this arthritis right out of your body. Take a few steps just to make the devil mad. Hallelujah. That's it. Just move around a little bit. There she goes. Just walk with me. Oh, glory to God. She's not going to need that walker anymore. God's just putting new strength.
Now watch
new
this.
Health. Burning that arthritis out of her body.
Whoops.
Just keep going.
He caught her right as she's falling. Now you know why atheism is growing in America. It is being used of the devil to turn people away from the truth. That's what's going on. If that was Christianity, I would be an atheist. I'm here to tell you. When I first got saved, I went into these churches. You know how many times Satan or a devil of his was whispering in my ears, this is stupid. This is crazy. You can't really believe this nonsense. Because I was in that kind of church. And the church I grew up in didn't have that stuff, but they didn't have any power at all. And that's what people go to. The mainline churches are dead So then they look for life, and they find that. They give up. And that is not biblical Christianity. You won't find any of, whether Jesus or His apostles or any of His followers acting like that, practicing what that guy's practicing right there, or any of these guys are practicing. And when Jesus did miracles, no one questioned the authenticity.
That's right.
No one did. Not even His enemies. You ever notice that when you're reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Right.
They never claimed that He didn't actually do miracles. They simply blasphemed. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 32. And this is His enemy. These are the enemies that would get Him killed. And you look closely at what they say, beginning in verse 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to Him a dumb man, which means he was mute, he couldn't speak, because he was possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Look what verse 34, look what they said. But the Pharisees said, read that, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. They didn't deny that He was casting out the devils. They didn't deny the miracle. They simply then tried to blame that miracle on the power of the devil. That's blasphemy. Now, that's not true about these fake healers. Everybody questions their authenticity when they ask for any proof. They can't get it.
Yeah.
They have no authentic healings to speak of. And there have been, time after time, they've investigated these guys. Morris Sorella, Benny Hinn, you know, all these guys. And they claim that they have all this evidence, and yet when they're asked to produce it, they can't produce it. Now, the apostles fulfilled this sign to Israel. So it is real. Miracles are real. Amen? And I'm not here telling you, I'm going to repeat myself, I know, because I have a note on this, but I'm not here saying that God doesn't do miracles. I'm saying that these crooks are not doing miracles. Big difference. Authenticity was verified by hostile witnesses against Jesus and the apostles. It wasn't just other Christians saying, oh, this is a real healing. The words came out of the mouths of His enemies saying that these are real miracles. Look over. We saw Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 3. And we're going to see the apostles. The same thing happened with them. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, it begins, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, verse 2, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And verse 4, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. Verse 5, And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, So your seed faith offering,
no.
Write your check to the name of Peter. Right?
Wrong.
No. Look what he says, verse 6. Then Peter said, read that with me, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Not only did they not ask for money, but said, let us give you something.
Amen.
No seed faith offering involved.
Amen. Yep.
What's the message this morning? Well, point number one, don't be a sucker. The only reason these guys make a living is because there are too many suckers out there. Why are they suckers? Because they don't read the book. If they actually read the Bible and didn't use it like a cookbook, and go looking for verses that are going to just tell you how wonderful you are and that God's got a wonderful plan and everything's going to be honky-dory and all that. If you read the book, read the whole book, nothing but the book for a while till you get it, you're going to see through this stuff.
Amen.
That's why there's so many people not seeing through it, because they don't really read the book. And a lot of them got the wrong book when they do try to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 7. Read that. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 8, I love this. Read it. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Look at verse 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. There was no doubt about the authenticity of that miracle. That's not what you're seeing in these ministries today. That's the difference. Bible miracles and fake miracles. The difference is clear. And there's no reason for anybody to fall for that nonsense if they just read the book. Let's go over to Acts 4. Go to the next chapter. Acts 4, we're going to start in verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they'd never been to seminary, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, God is through with seminaries.
Amen.
He's looking for people like you.
Amen.
He's looking for people like me and you. And He wants to use you.
Amen.
And He will use you. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
They could say nothing against it. It was authenticated. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, now read verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Amen.
Amen.
Inside Edition, 2020. What was that? Nightline? 60 Minutes. They all showed up and didn't have a story to tell. Other than to say, He does miracles. Amen. These apostles are doing miracles. They turned the world upside down. They couldn't question it. And they didn't have anything to say about money. There was no money abuse. There was no financial scandal. Mark 16, 17 was fulfilled and served the purpose intended by God. And you just read it.
Yeah.
That was the purpose, was to show the Jews the Holy Ghost has come. The Holy Ghost is confirming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gift of healing as a result of laying on of hands is no longer in operation today. Now, get me closer. I didn't say not to lay hands and pray for people. I didn't say that. I'm saying that if you got the gift that's in the Bible, then you never failed when you laid hands on somebody and you didn't even pray. You laid hands on them and said, be healed. And they were healed. That's the sign gift of laying on of hands. And that is not in operation today.
Yeah.
Now, I will put my hands on the sick person and I will pray for them, but I am not healing them. I am praying and asking God to heal them, and He will heal according to His will.
Mm-hmm.
And He does heal according to His will. Amen?
Amen.
You better believe we believe in healing.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have to write a check to Greg Miller to get it. Amen. You don't have to send your love seed faith offering to TBN or any of these crooks. And TBN is the blasphemy network. And it is just a scam. And if you saw the CIA report on what Paul Crouch did behind the scenes during his lifetime, it'd make you sick. And all these little old ladies and little old men send their Social Security checks off to those ripoff artists so they could live like kings and spend that money. That's all it was about. Go over to Hebrews 2. I want to show you this, that everything I just said to you is confirmed to us in the words of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read verses 3 and 4, but I'm going to go ahead and start by reading, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." Amen. "Lest at any time we should let them slip, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." Read verses 3 and 4. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord," watch this, "and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him." Now stop. It was past tense. You ought to circle that. Was past tense, confirmed past tense unto us, the apostles, and those who were alive during that time. It's done. The signs were for a purpose, to confirm what they had seen and to confirm what they were preaching during the transition period of the book of Acts. And it's past tense. Verse 3. Read verse 4 with me. "God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will." God has confirmed it. He did so with signs and wonders. He did so with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, but it was according to His will, and He already told you what His will was. His will was to use those signs to confirm the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to confirm the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God during the period of Acts. And by the time that book closes, the transition is over. And it's now past tense. Was confirmed. Past tense. And that's it. That's all it takes. Just reading the Bible for what it says, and you would have done away with all these nutcases and all this craziness and all these people being offended by the stupidity and idiocy of that charismatic movement, which not only is it ripping people off, folks, but it's also bringing people together under false pretense. The charismatic movement is being used of the devil to build the one world church for the Antichrist.
Yeah. That's right.
People are speaking in tongues in Catholic churches, in Mormon temples. They're speaking in tongues in Pentecostal, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Hindu, Buddhist, New Age, Wicca. They're all speaking in tongues just like one another, and they're all coming together thinking, wow, it must be the same spirit. It is. It's a foul spirit. And it's being used of the devil to build the one world church for the Antichrist. And I said this again, I'm going to repeat it. Whenever we say this, we are falsely accused of rejecting miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in answered prayer. I believe in healing. I even believe that I don't put God in a box. If God wanted to, He could give you a language to speak to somebody to preach the gospel.
Amen.
But what I am saying is 99.9% of what you're seeing today is hogwash. And it's being used of the devil. We believe in prayer, and we believe that God can and does still heal people. What we do not believe is that the gift of healing as practiced by the apostles is for today. Just making that clear. Cut and dry right down the middle. 2 Corinthians 11:13, we studied this some months ago. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Look at that. They are transforming themselves into apostles. They're false apostles. It's not God that's ordained these apostles running around here today calling themselves apostles and claiming to have these signed gifts. They're deceived and they're deceiving others. They're false apostles. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you something there. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read the first three verses. "And And there's a common trait among false apostles and false prophets. They're crooks. And they make merchandise of the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." I'm not judging these men, but don't be surprised when you see their scrawny, filthy carcasses thrown into a lake of fire. When Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you," take a close look. He's talking to people who claimed, staked their salvation on their ability to do miracles. "Haven't I done many wondrous works in thy name? Haven't I cast out devils in thy name? Depart from me, I never knew you." And that's who Peter's talking about here. And verse 2, it says, "And many," that's like this huge charismatic movement we're seeing today, "and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." That fellow that you hopefully could hear talking during that pop-off video is a guy from Canada. His name's James Randi. And he's an atheist. And there are a lot of atheists today who are atheists. And I'm not giving them total free ride on this, but the devil used this charismatic movement to turn them into atheists. He used that to turn them away from the gospel. And that's what it says here. "The way of truth shall be evil spoken of." It's still true, folks. Just because there's a bunch of nutcases running around claiming to be Christian and ripping people off doesn't change the fact that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God who came in human form, died on the cross, and paid for your sins with His shed blood on that cross. And they buried Him, and He rose again the third day, and He conquered sin and death. And if you will believe on Him for your eternal salvation, trusting in His payment for your sins, trusting and believing on His power, the resurrection and the life to raise you from the dead, you're saved. And that's true no matter how many crooks rise up and use this for their own benefit. Doesn't change the truth. But the truth is evil spoken of. Now read verse 3 with me. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." You need to underline that. "Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Look at how, listen folks, this makes God angry. And you notice in the last days it says, people will gather to themselves teachers, having itching ears. It's not the teacher's problem, but the big problem are the people. If the crowds didn't gather begging for this stuff, it wouldn't happen. And so I don't want to give the false prophets and false teachers a free ride, but you never forget when you see these crooks out there living with all their millions, they're getting by with it because of the people in the pews. And they make merchandise of you. If you want to give money to this ministry, it ought to be because you love what's going on. And there's a box back there. And if you want to give, I don't have to put a plate under your nose and cajole you and make you feel guilty and use all kinds of ploys and tactics and seed faith and sending out envelopes and having you promise, faith promise. That's in Baptist churches and whatever it is. I don't do that. If it's the Holy Ghost leading you to give, you don't have to be prodded like that. If the Holy Ghost is leading you to give, there's a box back there. No one ever has to mention it to you again. You'll give. And if you're not going to give cheerfully because you love this work, we don't want your money.
Amen.
Now you know why I don't wear expensive suits and drive a limousine. But that's what real ministry is. And if you go to a church where they prod you about money, you better get out. Otherwise, you deserve what you're going to get. Because they're making merchandise of you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is just for your notice. If you need a healing, we will pray for you at no charge. At not charge.
That's how you get a lot of people.
I have an Asian assistant that not charge. You know, I'm not saying anything. All right, see if you can hear this.
He's taking people's trust. And
these people used to work for that preacher we just showed.
This couple used to work for Jenkins Ministry.
It's Leroy Jenkins, James.
In this report. They read and responded to many of those prayer requests. But they say as soon as the money was collected, those letters were quickly destroyed.
Everything that they sent in, pictures of their family or their father that's dying, it gets shredded.
Somebody sends in the picture of a parent or a child who's dying, and it gets shredded?
Shredded.
And has anybody prayed over it before it gets shredded?
No.
The people who send Jenkins money get a letter back, thanking them. In it, he promises
this
to pray for them.
This is our hometown boy here.
But these former employees say that's all a lie. The letters they're getting back say, I prayed for you last night. All baloney.
All baloney.
Jenkins admits shredding the letters, but he says it's to ensure the privacy of his followers. He says he does pray over some of the letters, but
anyone that's got any brains at all knows that preachers don't read all those letters.
Amen.
He has the power to heal and perform Jesus miracles.
Amen.
A movie was actually made about his life.
Bless you in Jesus' name.
Starring Robert Wagner and Faye Dunaway. One scene not in the movie is his marriage to his second wife, Eloise Thomas. Jenkins married the 76-year-old woman less than 2 weeks after the death of her husband of 51 years. She was whisked off to Las Vegas, and she became Mrs. Eloise Jenkins, the preacher's wife.
I did love her. She was a wonderful person. Anybody that knew her loved her.
And he says his love had nothing to do with the fact that Eloise had won $8.9 million in the Ohio State Lottery in 1992.
I tried to save her from being robbed by her family.
Jenkins moved Eloise into his home near Columbus. And a short time later, money started moving out of her savings accounts. $67,000 was withdrawn in 2 months, and $10,000 of that went directly to Jenkins' ministry. Before her husband was dead, you were already taking money out of their accounts, or
no.
Inducing her to do it?
No, that is not true. Well, where's your
not
proof?
True. She'd never had a credit card before in her life. All of a sudden, she has one, and you're charging clothes all over town on it.
That is a lie.
In your mind, was there any doubt that he was after her money?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that.
Attorney Ben Espy, a former state senator from Ohio, was appointed by the courts to be Eloise's guardian. He says she was suffering from dementia when she married Jenkins.
My only goal was to make sure that she was safe and her assets were safe.
The marriage was annulled after just 7 months. The grounds? It had never been consummated. They determined that she didn't know how old she was. She didn't remember when she married you. She didn't know when she was going to Las Vegas that she was going to get married.
I don't know who informed you, but they're nothing but a bunch of liars.
They're all liars.
Every one of them. Amen.
Jenkins' ministry is flourishing, taking in nearly $20 million in the last 4 years.
Somebody that crooked, that obvious. He even said anybody with any brains knows I'm not praying over those $20 million in 4 years. Folks, all we need is about $100,000 and we have a big old huge church building on a lot with parking and not have any other needs. What do you do with $20 million? The words of Jesus in Mark 16:18 are true, and they were fulfilled in A.D. 33 through 70. And if Christians would get that, we wouldn't be talking about Leroy or Peter Popoff or Benny Hinn or TBN's parade of clowns. But we have to talk about it because Christians aren't being taught sound doctrine, and they're not finding it on their own because they're not in the book. So we got to get the message out there as well as in here. And I want to say a word about natural healing, by the way. I'm all for eating right. I'm all for eating as organic as you can, staying away from the pesticides, not drinking fluoridated water, you name it. I support all that. But with that said, you're all going to die. Amen? I mean, you're all going to die. There is no way to totally avoid sickness and never get sick. And we had a little bit of a like a blow up in our little Facebook group because of a certain method that was being taught that if you would just do that, you'd never get sick. I'm sorry, that's heresy. That's just not bad advice. That's heresy. The Bible says you will get sick and you will die unless the rapture takes place before that. That's just a fact. Our full and final healing is only promised at the moment we are glorified after this life ends at the rapture.
Amen.
Until then, if you walk in a room where some guy with Ebola is coughing and hacking in the air and you breathe it, you're going to get sick. If you're a nurse, and I don't want to scare anybody, but if you're a nurse or you're in the healthcare industry and you get poked by a needle that has went into somebody with HIV or hepatitis, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
If you are cheating and having sex with people with those diseases, you're going to get them. Disease is disease, and it's still going to get people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Just breathing the air and all the perfumes and colognes have petroleum and coal ash based garbage in them that is damaging your sinuses and your throat and your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And people who've never smoked a day in their life are dying of those diseases.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if they take 50,000 IUs of vitamin C every day of their life and do all the things they're told to do. It's still disease is in this world, and you're not. Everybody who pays for this faith healer to heal them, they're still eventually going to get sick and die. Every one of them do. Oral Roberts is dead.
Yep.
William Branham is dead. Kenneth Hagin is dead. Every one of these are going to die. I don't care what they teach and preach. We're told about the glory which shall be revealed in us, future tense. That's in Romans 8. Turn there, we're going to close on this. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 16. And this, I'm going to tell you, this is something, mark this somehow in your Bible, future reference. This is a very important passage. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. It says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And most of the time, that's where Christians stop. There's no period at the end of there. Look close. That's not a period right there. That's a colon. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." It's just a point. It's just a fact. If you become a Christian, you will suffer tribulation.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what the Bible says. If you become a Christian, you will suffer persecution.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
People telling you that it's not God's will for you to suffer in this life are lying to you. God has a plan for you, and it might involve suffering. Now, some of our suffering is self-inflicted. Don't blame God for dumb decisions. But there's other times where you don't do anything, you don't have to do anything, and you're going to suffer. That's part of being a Christian. Jesus suffered, and so will His followers. Now look at verse 18. Read that with me. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let that sink in.
Hallelujah.
Whatever suffering you do have to do in this life, don't run to a faith healer and give him all your savings. Look to God, ask Him for His will. If it's His will, He will heal you. If it's not His will, He has a purpose. That's the real purpose-driven life.
Amen.
You know what your best life is? Your best life now is not having every material thing you want, being happy-go-lucky, and always walking around feeling like you're in the millennium and having a smile on your face. Your best life now is to do and have exactly what God's will is for your life, even if it includes suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Your best life now might be to be dirt poor so that you don't have a bunch of money and go waste it and then stand and be accountable for that.
Amen.
You just study the people who win the lottery. Within a few months or years, a lot of them are bankrupt.
Yeah. Yep.
God didn't give them the money in the first place because they're fools and they can't use it right, and so he didn't bother giving it to them. They go out and win it and squander it. Some of them get big toys and kill themselves. I've told that story before. Some of you haven't heard it, so I'll repeat myself. I have a family from where I grew up, just down the road, won the lottery, millions of dollars, went out and bought a boat, got drunk, slammed into the side of a barge, and they're dead. Mm-hmm. Would have never been out on that boat, hit the barge if it wasn't for the lottery. Yeah. It was a curse. That is an awesome passage there. Let's keep reading verse 19. Read it. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, right there, that manifestation of the sons of God, a whole charismatic cult was built on taking that verse out of context and saying that this is talking about the here and now. Now, if you look at the whole context, it's obvious it's talking about the future glory. But they took one verse out of context and they called it the manifestation of the sons of God. It was a movement. And it still actually exists, but it's just under a different name. And they're ripping people off and lying to people, teaching false doctrine. Now read verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's when you get your healing. That's when full, final, complete healing comes to you. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Do you know every time some of you young kids, you might see me or someone else in here get up and we go, oh, that we're just fulfilling Scripture. Amen. That's what it says. Look at verse 22 again. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, Brother James says, amen.
Amen.
How many times have we talked about that? It's temporary. If you believe in Jesus, you trust the gospel, this is just a test. And you know what? If you believe the gospel, you've already passed.
Amen.
Jesus has already taken the test for you. All you have to do is believe and trust in Him. It's your faith that saves you. It's your faith that will keep you. Your faith is what will carry you through. And if you fall flat on your face, if you shipwreck your faith, it's all because you refuse to continue on believing and trusting God. You turn to a TV preacher or something like that, that's when you make shipwreck. Read verse 23 in closing. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Underline, memorize that. So no one can take advantage of you. We are all a part of this fallen world. Amen. Everything in it. When you see these nature programs where the lion is eating Bambi, that's because of sin. Sin brought death. And everything you see dying around you, and all the war, and all the abuse, and this terrible sex slave trade, and all that going on, it's because of sin being in the world. And there's coming a day where Jesus Christ returns to this earth at the end of the tribulation and conquers the Antichrist and sets up His kingdom in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, we see the world the way it ought to have been, the world the way it could be if everyone turned to Jesus Christ today. But God has already said we won't. It'll get worse and worse, and then there'll be a time of great tribulation, and then He returns and He sets up His kingdom, and we'll get a taste of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I as believers, we're raptured before that tribulation starts, and the 70th week of Daniel belongs to the Jews, not to the church.
That's right.
And you and I go up, and during that 7-year tribulation period, we are with the Lord, we are judged, we receive our rewards, we also watch some of our rewards in our works go up in smoke.
Yes.
if we haven't been doing the Lord's will. And then we carry on this marriage supper of the Lamb, and we have a time of rejoicing, and then we come back with Him. Revelation 19 says you come back with Jesus at the end of the tribulation. You don't go up, you come back down. And then when we come back down with Jesus, we are behind Him, and with the word of His mouth, He speaks and He destroys His enemies, and He lands on the Mount of Olives, and He then gets off that horse, walks through the beautiful gate that we read about in the book of Acts, where Peter was healing that man. He's going to walk through that same gate into Jerusalem and then walk right into the Temple Mount and establish His kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
You and I are on horses behind Him in glorified bodies.
Amen.
No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. That's Bible Christianity.
Amen.
Amen. Page 45, Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. There may be some here like me who have been taken advantage of in the past by these guys. And Lord, we're thankful that You forgive our ignorance. You forgive a lot of times even the waste of our time and money. We thank You for the forgiveness that You promised us, that if we will confess our sins, You're faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here today who has been made merchandise of, who maybe have even had their faith shipwrecked by this false theology we've talked about today, that they will lay that aside and beginning today, follow that book and use what time they have left on this earth to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, that's the prayer I have for everybody in this room.
Amen.
We want to preach the gospel to the lost. We want to be a help and an encouragement to the saved who are walking in the Spirit. We want to be a thorn. We want to be salt. And we want to be trouble for Christians who are following the Antichrist today. We want to bring the unbeliever to the point of decision. We want to rebuke sin. And just like Jesus, we want to be hated. And that's Bible Christianity, Lord, that we're trying to revive in this country. A Christianity that is unknown to so many today, but is what our forefathers lived. This world ought to hate Christians because we will not go along with the culture. We will not go along with the false religion. We will not go along with the thieves. We will not go along with the liars. We're going to go with Jesus to the cross. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Help us, enable us to walk with power in the face of the enemy. And Lord, to be hated just like Jesus, and to be loved just like Jesus. Hated by those who hate You and loved by those who love You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're not living for the mansions you might get in this life. And by the way, folks, you get a mansion, use it for God's glory. I'm not saying you can't have a mansion. We've seen wealthy Christians who have used it for God's glory, but that's rare.
Yeah.
So you better pray now that if God blesses you with a mansion in this life, it never becomes more important than the one we want that's waiting for us over the hilltop. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead and stand with us.
I'm satisfied. Just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want the gold one, that silver line.
Sing it out.
I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we'll never more.
Before we sing anymore, I want to ask you to just don't look around. I just want you to think about your own self right now. First of all, are you saved? I do not know and cannot know your salvation. Only you and God know. And I don't want to be morbid. I'm just keeping it real. If you were to drop dead in the next 5 minutes, where would you go? And if you are not saved right now, I ask you to consider what you've heard. That Jesus died and paid the full price for your sins. And if you will simply trust in what He has done, He shed His blood and gave His life's blood to pay for your sin. He rose from the dead and conquered the death penalty that's upon you. And if you will believe that, then right this moment you will be saved. And Christian, I'm not looking around at anybody right now. I don't want anybody else looking around. This is all about us. And I'm just preaching to myself as much as I am anybody else. Are you a hypocrite? Are you playing games? Are you living your life every day like a blood-bought saint who doesn't care about this world, who wants to serve the Lord with your every day, your every moment? The Bible says we must die to self. How about it? Only you know. This is between you and God. I urge you that if you are not living the Spirit-filled life, that you will seek God on this matter, that you will lay down your life and ask God to fill you with His Spirit, surrender yourself to Him, be willing to do whatever it is He leads you to do. To walk that Spirit-filled life and be used by God with whatever time we have left. Amen. Let's take it from the top. Verse 1.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city, where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll nevermore wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Though often tempted,
tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Don't think me poor.
Don't think me poor. Deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound.
Praise God.
I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe and a crown.
Sing it out.
I've got a mansion just over the hilltop,